Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrices' eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from the transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you just for the blessings of your word and just the marvelous prophecies that you gave to us through Isaiah, that we have your word passed down to us and verified in so many ways. We know it's reliable and true. And Father, just write it on our hearts that we might live it each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 59, I think, is very relevant to our day today. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Well, if you think about it, we really know that's true, don't we? I mean, if God is God, He knows what's going on. And if God is God, He can do something about it. But we tend to question it. We hear it in our day so much. We hear various philosophers talk about it. We hear little quick kids ask the question. When something horrible happens, let's say you're an elementary school child in Uvalde, and a horrible evil just occurred right next door to you. Or maybe you're one of the survivors that witnessed it. Right there, I mean, horrible, horrible event. That it would shake you up as an adult, much less as an impressionable child. And so children are asking, it's like, "Daddy, why didn't God stop this? How could God let such a thing happen?" And you know, that rings true with us. But yeah, how could God let such a terrible thing happen? Well, in the first place, you're putting the blame in the wrong place. This wasn't an act of God. We know, even in our insurance things, in insurance, you ever read an insurance paper? You know, they talk about, are you covered for acts of God? What are the acts of God? Well, flood, lightning, you know, things that are beyond man's control, right? But where did this act come from? Well, it directly came from a very mixed up young man. It came from an evil heart. And I don't know where you put all the blame. I mean, you have to put it on him ultimately. But he was influenced by an evil world. He had a less than perfect family. Of course, we all do, but we don't have a society that has strong families very much anymore. There's a lot of places you can put the blame. But this is really about, can we put the blame on God? Can we? Well, just by the definition of God, right here, verse 1, His hand is not shortened. Okay, what do they say? What is it, Rabbi Kushner that's been famous? He goes around and he talks and saying, well, there's evil in the world. This is the problem of pain. C.S. Lewis has dealt with it. It's been around a long time. And he says, okay, evil happens in the world. That's a given. Well, yes, it does. We can't deny that. So either God can't do anything about it, or He's not really a loving, caring God, so He lets it happen anyway. Okay? Well, that's what this is saying here. First, it says His hand is not shortened. Okay? How is God defined? We have fancy terms for it, but the Bible clearly indicates that God is what we call omnipotent. Omni means everything. Potent means power. God has all power. Right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's pretty much all power, isn't it? He created everything. He sustains everything. So His hand is not shortened. It means it's not out of His reach. It's not beyond His reach. His hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Okay, He's also omniscient, which means all knowledge. So He knows what's going on. It's not that God was just looking the other way when Uvalde happened. He knows about it. So He has the power to deal with it. He knows about it. He cares about it. So why do terrible things happen in this world? Verse 2. Here's why. But yours, iniquities, sins, evil, wrongdoing. We all have iniquities. Even if our world doesn't like to believe it. We all want to call ourselves just and good and whatever. We want to say that Uvalde's not our fault. Well, guess what? To some extent it is. Our iniquities, our sins, the things we don't like to talk about. We like to talk about toleration. June is Pride Month. You know, the flag keeps growing, you know, the multicolored rainbow flag, which I resent. God made the rainbow. They tried to usurp the rainbow. I don't even like it that you can't use the word gay anymore to mean happy. And you're like, that was a good word one day. But we have a little filter for our TV called TV Guardian. You put it on and it reads the subtitles, and if a bad word comes in, it cuts the volume out, which is really kind of handy, you know, trying to watch some programs. But most of the programs we watch, it winds up cutting words out like God when they're praying at the table, which that hadn't happened since the 50s, I don't think. But it takes away gay, it takes away several things like that, because those words, perfectly good words, they've just been misappropriated. Okay? So, your iniquities, that's our first fault right there. The fault is in our iniquities. Okay? Well, we've got to get a little deeper than that before we understand it. But it says clearly, the reason bad things happen is because of our sins, collectively sins. Okay? Uvalde didn't happen because of the sins of the principal at Uvalde. It wasn't particularly a judgment on those particular children. It wasn't a judgment on that, not at all. You know, Jesus dealt with that when he talked about the people that Pilate murdered or the people that the wall fell on. This and he said, they're not any great sinners than the rest of us. And the same thing's going to happen to you if you don't repent. Okay? Well, the tragedy is in people not repenting. Okay? If I knew that everyone that was harmed in that incident was a saved Christian believer, that makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? It's still a terrible thing that happened. But you compare a temporary tragedy with a permanent paradise, it's not so bad. Okay? But it's because of sin. Okay? People's sin. That's where it comes from. That's what caused this. There was sin going on. We know at least one person was sinning. He went down there intentionally to do as evil as he could do, as much possible. Okay? And maybe there's others involved too, but we know at least one person sin called it. But what's happened? We're talking about, why doesn't God hear? Why doesn't God stop these evil things from happening? Well, because our iniquities, our sins, have separated between you and your God. Wow. It's our fault that God doesn't hear us. Now, there's other things. We pray about a lot of things, and sometimes we don't think we get an answer, do we? Okay? You know, I pray about elections, and I don't think a lot of my prayers got answered the way I intended them to. Why not? Because our iniquities. Okay? First word, separated. Separated. Well, what is separation? Well, separation is death. The very first death, the very first separation, what did God created the world. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what did he pronounce when he finished? He said it was very good. Okay? No evil. There was no evil whatsoever. But then he gave Adam a charge. Put him in the garden. He had the easiest job ever. He didn't have to plant the garden. He didn't have to weed the garden. He just had to pick the fruit and kind of tend it and whatever. It was right there. He didn't even plant the thing. He didn't plow it, move all the rocks out of the field, anything like that. He just had to go in. And he had one command he had to obey. One. The tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat thereof. One little tree. You had every other tree in the world except that one. But we know how we are, don't we? Put a kid in a room full of toys and say, you can play with anything you want except this one. Where's he going? That one right there. If you're like me, have you ever, you drive up to the gas station, have you ever noticed that big red button up there on the wall? Is emergency shut off? Well, I've seen it have to be used. I saw a pump get stuck, and this guy's tank overflowed, and it was just pouring gas everywhere. Fire hazard deluxe, this and that. Well, somebody went over and hit that red button to shut off all the power, so we're not pumping any more gas out there, and there's no electricity out there anymore for a fire hazard. It's a good thing. But I don't know. If you're like me, you look over, isn't it just tempting to just, I don't know, you just kind of want to push that button? for no good reason whatsoever. Just because it's a big red button that you're not supposed to touch. It's just, you just want to see what would happen. I've resisted it so far. I've never done it. But somehow you just kind of, you notice that button more than you notice anything else in the place, don't you? You notice that button and think, what if I push that button? Don't do it. But, you know, what if I just pushed it? What would happen? The alarm bell would go off? Fire trucks show up? Separation. God said that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Now, when Adam took a bite of that fruit, did he fall over like Snow White when she took a bite of the apple? She falls down, you know, apparently dead. No, he didn't. The guy lived 900 and something years more. But what happened that day? He died. Ye shall surely die. Death is separation. What happened to Adam? He lost his fellowship with God. He hid from Him. He was cast out of the garden, out of God's presence. He died spiritually and had to come back in a much lesser way by sacrificing animals to cover his sin so he could fellowship with God. He died. He was separated. Well, and death entered the world. Even though it took a while, he began to die. Death has been everywhere since. But it says, our iniquities, our sins have separated us between you and your God. Guess what? That's what separates you from God too, is your sin. Your iniquities. It separates you from God. Well, it certainly does. We're all separated from God. But even... Well, first, we have to realize that. We've got a world that denies that fact. I think that's why we have so much trouble understanding each other in this world. Because the progressive agenda, they believe that man is getting better and better. And that we can have the solution to everything. If we just have more global government, if we have more United Nations power, if we can just get all the elites to meet in Davos, Switzerland, and fly in all the private jets, they're going to solve the world carbon climate crisis by flying in there in their jets and meeting and deciding what we should give up and sacrifice. You know, we think man's got the answer. We think man's getting better and better. We're evolving more. We have to lead ourselves over. You've got people like Bill Gates and all that are advocating that we need to reduce the Earth's population to about 0.5 billion people. That just means we need to kill off about 7 billion people to reach that. That's what they believe. That's what they talk about in Davos, Switzerland. And that's who goes there. President Biden, Bill Gates, the head of Google, the head of Meta, the head of all that. That's what they talk about. How are they going to get the population down to about 1/10 of what it is now? Even less than that. Okay. That's not the solution. Our problem is our sins have separated us from God. All the Eastern religion that goes on, they say, well, we're separated from God because we've forgotten our inner divinity. Crummy gods. If we're really God and we just forgot, you're not much of a God. Okay. They want us to look within to find God. He's not there. Believe me. Unless He's been transplanted in there through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. So our iniquities. We first have to face our iniquities. We never want to face our iniquities. So what do? We have Mental Health Awareness Week. And we're all worried about mental health. And mental health isn't... And that's a really broad category, so I can't speak in particular to it, but a lot of things get lumped under mental health. And a lot of it is we just hadn't faced up to our sins. We love to go to Alcoholics Anonymous because then we can go there and have them tell us that it's not your fault you're a drunk. You have a genetic problem, that you have a disease, and we need to treat your disease. Oh, it's not my fault. Well, that's good. And then they've got celebrate recovery for any kind of recovery. If you eat too much, that's a disease. If you beat your wife, that's a disease. Okay? So now we can put it all under disease, and how we can do? We can treat it with medication. Notice the medication is always hallucinogenic drugs. The way to get demon possessed. That doesn't sound like a very good way to treat a mental health problem. And they say, well, we have chemical imbalances. Guess what? No one has ever measured a chemical imbalance in your brain. We don't even know what a chemical balance should measure. Okay? When you go to a doctor, a psychiatrist, they're medical doctors, and they diagnose you with a mental condition, and it's some kind of a hormone imbalance in your brain, they're not going to give you a test that gives you numbers. They say, see, your hormones are out of balance. Which they can do that with a lot of things. They can check a lot of levels in your blood and things like that, your thyroid level and your all these kind of things. Not in your brain. They don't test that. But they will diagnose you as a chemical imbalance in your brain, and they will give you drugs that cause chemical imbalances in your brain. Okay? And guess what the problem really is? The one word we don't like to hear, sin. Well, that's judgmental. That's the truth. And I'm not judging anybody because I'm as big a sinner as anybody. We're all sinners. Nobody's left out. That's the one thing we've all got in common. Talk about equity. We've all got that one. But what's it done? Sin separates us from God. So when we don't think God's answering our prayers, it's not because God is not powerful enough. It's not because God doesn't care. It's because our sin has put a separation between us and God. And we are so used to it, we don't even notice it anymore. We don't know the difference. When you get to where you are truly saved, your sins are all confessed up, you're walking with the Lord. Your thoughts are on Him. Everything is right. And you do that habitually, you'll feel it when you're separated from God. Instantly. When you're going along, you're in fellowship with God, you just know it, everything's good, and then you let an inappropriate thought cross your mind. Anger, lust, whatever. Did you lose your salvation? No. Your sin has just made a separation between you and your God. You're not walking in that kind of fellowship. It's like when Adam hid behind the bush and was afraid because he was naked. He was aware of his sin. Well, what do? Well, you confess it and get right with God. And the quicker you do it, the better. Satan loves to make you put it off. The longer you put it off, the longer you're separated from God, the longer it is before you can get back walking in God's power. Okay? So, When we cry out and say, God, why do you let these horrible things happen? He can turn around at us and say, why do you have all this sin in your life that has separated you from me? Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. It's not that God cannot hear. He will not hear when you're in sin. If you want God to hear your prayers, get out of sin. Every sin, big, little, everything. Does that mean you have to live a perfect life? No. It's like Otto Koenig said, you know. He said, well, he tells all these stories on himself, which, you know, I think I appreciate his humor so much because it's against himself. He doesn't make fun of anybody else. It's self-deprecating humor. He talks about his own faults. And then he says, you know, well, you tell me I'm a bad missionary. I know I'm a bad missionary, but I'm a good repenter. Okay? What about David? David gets highly praised in Scripture, doesn't he? A man after God's own heart. Was David a sinner? You better believe it. But David was a good repenter. That's the difference. David was a good repenter. We need to be good repenters because these things that happen is because we're turned away from God. Now, we can't solve all the world's problems, but we can at least make sure sin is not separating us from God. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Okay? So we're like, why in the world? You know, people want to blaspheme God's name because something terrible like a mass shooting happens, which is terrible. But we're saying, well, I prayed and God didn't do anything about it. Well, did you just pass legislation to pro-abortion? Did you just vote for a politician that's going to vote for pro-abortion legislation? Then you've got blood on your hands. And guess what? God's not going to hear you because you've got blood on your hands. How can we hold bloody hands up to God and say, God, how could you let this terrible thing happen? I mean, I picture in my mind, I remember years ago when some Palestinian terrorist grabbed a couple of Israeli soldiers, drug them over into their Palestinian zone, carried them up into a building, murdered them. And then, I mean, not the first murder that ever happened, but what got me is then all the crowds were around cheering them. I saw the picture in the paper of one of the men comes to the window and holds his bloody hands out to the cheers of all the people. He was showing off the Israelis' blood on his hands. Well, that's what we're doing. If we keep on with our sins and just think, well, we can get away with it. We can say, we can come up here and say, well, this is horrible. We should do everything we can to stop these mass shootings. We should take away everybody's Second Amendment rights. We should do all these kind of things that we should, because we want to stop this evil. Why don't we try washing our bloody hands off before we go praying to God? We should be ashamed for Him to see our bloody hands. How can we sit there and say it's okay to murder innocent babies while they're still in their mother's womb and then cry out against an 18-year-old kid that kills approximately 20 people? We've got abortion doctors that pass that up every week. Okay? You can't have it both ways. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Perversity is our specialty these days. This is Perversity Month. They call it Pride Month, but that's not a whole lot better term. I mean, pride's the primary sin in the Bible. That was Satan's first sin. I will be at the Most High. That was Adam and Eve's first sin. You shall know good and evil for yourself. Pride. Now we're proud of being proud. None calleth for justice. Do we really want true justice? There's a lot of cries for justice when something happens and whatever. But mostly, people just want it their way. The politicians just take every opportunity to increase their own power. You know, personally, it's hard for me to believe. I mean, I can't read another person's thought. But it's hard for me to believe that President Biden really cares that much about 19 kids in Uvalde. When he's doing everything he can do to make abortion as widespread as possible in this country. Killing millions of babies. It's hard for me to think he cares that much about 19 elementary school kids. Okay? I don't know his heart, but that's the way it appears to me. Do you really want justice? Do you really want what's right and good? We cry justice a lot, but do we really work for justice? Or do we work for what's good for me? None pleadeth for truth. Truth is not too popular these days. We like to make up, well, your truth, my truth, you know, whatever. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. So the problem is not God's lack of ability. The problem is our sin. They hatch cockatrices' eggs. Okay? Snake eggs. It's like, you know, eggs are a good thing, right? Eggs and bacon for breakfast and all that. It's like, no, these are snake eggs. They weave spider's webs. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. Okay? I don't want snake eggs for breakfast. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments. Okay. We've all seen spider webs, right? Incredible things. I mean, I'm amazed at spiders. I mean, I'll walk out the door and, you know, smack into a spider's web. And you look and it's this little bitty critter. It's like, you spun a web across my whole front porch? It's like, boy, you had a busy night. I mean, that's incredible feat, what they've done. But guess what? That spider web, while it may be useful to the spider, doesn't do any good for me. I can't harvest it and make clothes out of it. It's not like silkworms that you can make fancy clothes. It's a spider's web. You can't use it. Okay, evil does not beget good. So how we think, well, we can do more good by, you know, if I lie a little here, it's okay because it's justifiable because it's for the greater good. If I cheat a little here, well, it's for the greater good. No, it's not. Good doesn't come out of evil. It's spider's webs. It may look fancy, but it's not useful. They cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Okay, our country as a whole, okay, I'm not talking about any individual, anything like that. So, you know, bad things happen. But look at our entire society. They say, well, you know, mass shootings are up. Well, yes, they are. But compare our society to, say, post-World War II generation, the 50s. There was evil then, too, and now. But take something you can compare, like the movies. Okay, the movies that are going on today. How corrupt are they? How wicked are they? Okay. I mean, I'm no expert because I've seen very little. I don't know much about any current movie. You know, we mostly watch Gene Autry and stuff like that. You know, but it's just our society is flooded with evil, right? I mean, I can just look at the ratings on the movies. Okay. When I was young. Well, let's see, even when I was young, they didn't have PG yet. But go back as far as the ratings were G, PG, R, and X. Okay, G meant it was a kid's movie. PG meant it was a general audience movie that had a few minor curse words and a few things a little off color, but it wasn't much worse than just regular television. This is back when there were 7 words you couldn't say on television. You know, and one of them was pregnant. Okay, so long time ago. But then they said G, P, G, and R, and X wasn't good enough. Right? So they said G, P, G, let's stick another one in there. Let's call it PG-13. And really that's what R just moved into. Then R moved down further, closer to X. Then they said, well, X, there's a lot of newspapers have a policy against advertising X-rated movies. So let's just change the name to NC-17. And it didn't violate anybody's policy. Now they're advertised. Okay, so just that ratings. Now the other thing is where most movies that come out now. They used to, the majority of movies came out in G and PG. Now, most of them are at least PG-13 when they come out. That's what used to be R. Okay, inappropriate for children, which I agree with TC. If it's inappropriate for children, it's inappropriate for me too. But it's moving further down, and there's more and more R's. When the whole thing is moving. TV, for what little I can see, is at least R-rated, what I would call R-rated. It's all about inappropriate topics. Disney, as long as Walt Disney was there, insisted everything had to be family-oriented. So after Disney died, they created a new label called Touchstone Pictures so they could put their pictures that were not family-oriented into that label and not have the Disney name on it. Now you've got Disney as one of the major campaigners for the LGBTQ rights thing. I don't even like the term LGBTQ rights. It's just sexual perversion is what it is. And it's on there. Our whole society is inundated with sin. The entertainment is inundated with sin. The news is inundated with sin. The stuff that makes the news is all the salacious stuff, because that's what gets people's attention. We're all these 24-hour news things and everything, so you got to show all the stuff. That a trial was pornographic. That, what is it? I can't think of the guy that was from Pirates of the Caribbean, that actor, and her name was Heard, and I can't even think of what it is. I didn't watch it. But basically, from a few summaries I read, the trial itself was pornographic. The testimony before the judge was pornographic. And it was televised, public TV, for everybody to watch. That should have been deemed, instead of putting it on television, it should have been deemed as pornographic and not broadcast. Okay, our society is inundated with sin. And then we wonder why we don't live in a nice, sweet society where everybody gets along and nobody does anything mean. What do you expect? Because that's what we tolerate. And I know the studios are putting out whatever and freedom of speech, but they wouldn't be putting it out if people weren't buying it. Somebody's buying it. A lot of somebody's are buying it. We're covered up in iniquity. So as a society, we are separated from God. Our personal iniquity will separate us from God. Our public iniquity will separate us from God. We are publicly separated from God. I'm just grateful He hasn't abandoned us completely. We shed innocent blood, left and right, and we keep doing it. The way of peace, they know not. We cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Well, we don't even know the way of peace anymore. We want peace, but we don't live it. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. The way of peace they know not. Hit the wrong button. Therefore is judgment far from us. Why don't we have God's perfect rule? Because we've rejected Him. Neither doth justice overtake us. We hear a lot of crying out for justice, racial justice, gender justice, sexual justice. Oh, we hear people crying for justice, but they're living in sin. They're not looking for justice. If they don't get what they think is justice, they start protesting and looting stores. How's that just and right? The Supreme Court hasn't even made a decision, but there's a hint that they're going to make a decision that they don't like, and now they are protesting at their homes, intimidating their families, trying intimidation techniques. You know, every time they're seen out in public, they run and shout them. I remember when Senator Cruz was just having dinner in Washington, D.C. with his wife, and people came up and just stood around his table and yelled and chanted till he drove them out of the restaurant. You know, it's like, that's not peace. You cry, you want justice and peace. That's not it. We wait for light. We think, oh, there'll be some way to solve this. We'll find an answer. You know, if we pass all the right legislation, we're going to solve all these shooting problems and this and that. No, we're not. The problem is much deeper than that. It's hatred in people's hearts is the problem. We wait for light, but we behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. And we are desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn some like doves. We look for judgment. And we make a good speech, for we sound good. Oh, we want justice. We want peace. We want safety. We want this. But there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. We're not going to get peace and salvation from Congress. I don't care who gets elected in this next election. It's not coming from there. We're only going to get it from God. And we're not even looking under that rock. We're too busy finding our own ways. We're not even willing to say we need to turn back to God. For our transgressions are multiplied before Thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, We know them. Okay? We really know that we're sinners. We just don't like to admit it. We all know it. Christian, non-Christian alike. We all know that we don't live up to God's standards. We don't even live up to our own standards unless we've really changed them. I told you before about when I was in college and I was teaching a Sunday school class, and I had several young men that were from the Air Force base out there. And, you know, these were well-educated Air Force pilots, graduates of the Air Force Academy. And I had two of them in my Sunday school class, and they said, "You need to come home with us and meet our roommate." Apparently a very outspoken skeptic. I'm like, "Sure, I'd be happy to meet him." You know, so they invited me over to the house, and so we're sitting there chatting, and roommate, I don't know if he just came at home or came out of his room or whatever, but he came and sat down in the living room with us, and they introduced us, and we started talking, and he's like, "Yeah," he said, "Well, yeah, I'm basically a good person. I believe I'm a good person, and isn't it? I don't need God. I don't need a Savior. I'm a good person." Unfortunately for him, his roommates knew him a little too well. So they brought up a couple of things that I couldn't relate to because I didn't know the background. But they said, "Oh, what about so-and-so?" "Well, yeah, that was, you know, that was kind of bad, but she deserved it," or, you know, something like that. They just kept pulling, "And what about this? And what about that?" They just kept pulling sins out of his past that he acknowledged were sins, that were wrong. He knew it, too. So even though he was not willing to believe that he needed a Savior, he really knew he was a sinner. Matter of fact, his excuse for not believing in Christianity, he said he believed in the Star Wars Force, which at that time, that was a little unusual to me. Now it's not. In England, on the census, the national census, I don't know if it's the regular census like we take or whether it was a different religious census, but basically on their census, you check your religion. There's a large number of people that check Jedi. That's their religion. They claim to be a Jedi. It's like from the movies, you know. It's like that's what they are. And so he said, "Yeah, I believe in the Star Wars Force. You know, that's what I believe. That's God. He's just a force." Which it does. It fits with all Eastern religions. It's the yin and the yang, you know, the dark side and the light side. That's typical Eastern religion, you know. There's two creatures. God and Satan are basically just manifestations of the good side and the bad side. Neither one is really bad. They just have to all be in balance. You know, in the Star Wars movies, which I'm talking about the old ones. I don't know anything about the new ones. They always say you had to get the force in balance. As long as good and evil were in balance. Okay, that's not God's way. It's not that good and evil need to be in balance. Good needs to win. That's the way it needs to be. And that's the way we really want it to be, isn't it? I mean, isn't that why you enjoyed the Star Wars movies anyway? Is what was portrayed as the good side, which it really wasn't. One, how well would you have liked it if in the first Star Wars movie, if Darth Vader just killed all the Hans and Luke and everybody and went on? But that wouldn't have been a very fun movie, would it? Why? Because we like good to win, even though that's a strange perception of what's good. But we all know we're sinners. We got to first admit it. The only way to salvation is first admitting you're a sinner. Our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Boy, that describes us. We grow up and say, "Well, Christianity is no good. God's not really here because look at all these terrible things that happen." Okay? Well, why does it happen? Because we've departed from God. It's not God departing from us. It's us departing from God. And we surely can't deny that we've departed from God, right? Take the Ten Commandments out of the schools. Remove any religious anything. And so, we have departed from God, not He from us. And judgment is turned away backwards. We do it backwards. We're suing cake bakers because they refuse to participate in decorating cakes for a homosexual wedding, and we're taking them to court. It's like, wait a minute. Not even that far long back, the homosexual was illegal. Even the American Psychiatric Association had homosexuality listed as an abnormal behavior. You know, it was right in there with abnormal psychology. You studied it just like schizophrenia or all these other things. But suddenly, it's not abnormal anymore. When the building was surrounded by homosexual protesters and they were threatening to cut the power off to the building if they didn't decide right, suddenly they changed their mind and decided that it was okay now. It's now a normal behavior. Now it's abnormal behavior to disapprove of it. Homophobia or whatever. The truth has fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. We want equity and justice. Well, we got to get back to the truth. We can't just make up garbage like we do now. By that, we've got to have the truth. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. It's kind of like you being in a gang. Once you get in a gang, it's hard to get out, right? You know, I mean, I don't really know. I've never been in a gang, you know. But if you think of gang mobster movies or something, Godfather or something like that. What happens if you decide to get out of it? This isn't for me. I'm leaving. They kill you, right? You can't leave. That's the way it is. Truth faileth. He that departeth from evil, make him a prey. If you don't want to be evil, if you want to speak out against it, you're in trouble. Okay? If I speak out and say abortion is wrong, now I'm against women's reproductive health. I'm a bad guy. The Crisis Pregnancy Center that got broken into after the Supreme Court opinion was revealed, it got broken into and firebombed, and then on the outside was spray painted, "If abortion isn't safe, neither are you." So they're threatening places that are trying to protect babies. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. What's it say in Ezekiel? You know, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, and there was none. That's what he's saying here. Remember, Isaiah is looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. We already passed the part where he saw the first coming of Jesus Christ. Now he's looking forward to the second coming. He's talking about our period of time. This is our evil world he's describing. But he said, God said, there was no man. Well, remember, man, who was the first man? Adam. But Adam failed, right? Fell into sin, died. Who's the second man? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the second man, the only sinless man. And so now he's talking about the return in judgment of Jesus Christ, what we call the second coming. He's the intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Jesus Christ came in complete and perfect holiness and righteousness. Everybody else has fallen short, but not him. He's the intercessor we need. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate. See, Paul didn't just cut this out of whole cloth when he came up with that. And a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Well, we like to think of the sweet, forgiving, loving Jesus. Right? That's what we like to think of. And a lot of these people that are trying to say, well, our churches need to be, you know, broad tents, encompass, allow everybody and everything and this and that. You know, what would Jesus do? You know, love thy neighbors, thyself, and this and that. Guess what? God has two main characteristics. He is loving, but he's also just. He's holy. So, his holiness requires judgment. That's why Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. Because without judgment, there cannot be forgiveness. God said himself, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In other words, your sins can't be forgiven without the shedding of blood. It's either your blood or Jesus' blood. So if you're willing to accept Jesus Christ and His blood, you can receive salvation. But if you don't, you're going to receive the judgment. Because God is holy, and He cannot allow evil to continue. We want Him to stop the evil. He will. But a lot of people are not going to be happy when He does. Because he's going to put on vengeance. He's going to judge the sin. If it's not covered by Jesus' blood, which everything can be, but that's up to us. Are we willing to trust Jesus Christ, our sins? Too many people that sort of believe in God say, well, I just believe that God's forgiven all my sin under Jesus, so I don't worry about it. I just go on and keep sinning. Nope. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you're not attempting to keep His commandments, if you're not following Jesus Christ, you're none of His. His blood is not covering you because you've chosen not to accept it. According to their deeds, accordingly He will repay. Fury to His adversaries, recompense to His enemies, to the islands He will recompense. All this sin is going to be judged one day. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. From the east to the west, everywhere, they're going to fear God when He comes in vengeance. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. There's a lot of Christian denominations that teach that, you know, the church is just going to grow and grow and grow, and we're going to increase in power and influence, and we need to get strongly into politics and strongly into education. And I'm glad that we are. We're here to be salt and light and have an influence. But guess what? Overall, we're going to be overwhelmed. This world is going evil. That's where it's going. It's not about to turn around for good unless God gives us a brief respite with revival. The evil's just coming in like a flood. And it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse until Jesus comes in judgment. But the thing we can look forward to is God's going to put up His standard. Now, I like to think, I hope to think that we're getting really close to the end, that Jesus Christ will be coming back soon. But Paul thought the same thing 2,000 years ago. So what if? I mean, we need to always be prepared that Jesus Christ is coming today. What if He doesn't come for a long time? We need to be prepared for that, too. Sorry. We need to be prepared because He may not come back immediately. There's a lot of evil yet to come. I don't know how long it's going to last. It's going to come. But the good news is, the bad news is it's going to get worse and worse. You can just count on that. Maybe there's occasionally little pockets of better. This country for the last 200, 250 years has been a pocket that's been better. Then we've been blessed. We've spent our whole lives in a pretty friendly environment towards Christians. But that's the rarity in the history of this earth. It may change, and it can change, but it's not hopeless, because when the evil comes in, God has His standard. That's His flag. Okay, that's when two armies come in, they come in with their flags, their banners, and evil is feel like it's just overrunning the world. But guess what? Before it can completely overrun, God is going to come in and put down His flag. And what do you do? What do you do? You rally to the flag. That's what we need to do. Christian, we need to rally to His flag, to Christianity. Get over on His side. And then, even though the flood is coming in, it will not overwhelm us if we're by God's standard. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Jesus Christ is going to come back. And He's going to come back literally to Zion, to Jerusalem. He's going to land on the ground, is going to come and He's going to conquer this world. Unto them that turn from the transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. But who's He coming back to? those that have turned away from this world and turned to Him, those who believe in Jesus Christ. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. God says, I've given you a promise. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. God is going to keep a faithful witness on this earth. He's not going to let it be overcome. Okay? He's done to the nation Israel, and they've suffered, but they've never disappeared. They're still there. God's word is still here. Okay? Jesus promised us that it will not pass away. It's going to hold. God's witness is going to hold. His church is going to hold until the end, until He comes. There's always going to be a place of refuge that we can hide in Him and look forward to His coming. We hope soon, but even if it's long, He's going to hold.